Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. Okay, heavy emphasis on wealth of resources and information and services you may need if you, like so many of us, know somebody or have small kids and are trying to figure out what to do when everybody's working here. That's a topic that's on everybody's mind, and that's the topic we're going to talk about today with Christina Blevins and Cinda Muckenthaler from a county agency that I confess I never heard of before, First Five Orange County. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Christina, why have I never heard of this before? We're going to keep pushing to her because Cinda is begging off. She's got a scratchy throat. So we'll get Cinda in, but let's focus on Christina here. Why have I never heard of this agency before?
That's a good question. Probably because you don't have a child under five.
Maybe, but I do have grandkids. And as I said, we watch them a lot because we are the child care couple here for my only daughter and her husband, and their two wonderful kids. One's four, one's 10. And I was saying more and more, I think that's the norm. How do parents today, two working parents, afford childcare on top of everything else? That's got to be difficult. We're going to give you some stats on this in a minute here, but just overall, is that a struggle for most of these people today here?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it exasperated, or it just was in our face during the pandemic when everybody was home and they had to take care of their own children all day long and started to realize the importance of having access to childcare and education in general. And we see a lot of families that nowadays can't afford it, or there's not enough, there's nowhere to send their child. They're on waiting lists for years and years.
What say you, Cinda? We'll share your scratchy voice here with everybody.
Gee, thanks. Pressure. Yes, definitely the pandemic. We lost so many child care, particularly family child care businesses, where they may have been on waiting lists, but they were never getting in because they closed. So really, our program, one of them, our innovative program, came out of the pandemic. And you're absolutely right. Resources is really what this program is about.
You gave me pages of stats here. I'm going to try and sift through some of them.
Go
here.
For it.
Let's talk about this one that shocked me. A 2020 analysis of the Orange County child care landscape. They looked at child care in Orange County, and it said there's only enough licensed slots. Not your next door neighbor or somebody who's not licensed to do this. There are only so many licensed slots for 5% of Orange County's population of infant and toddlers up to the age of five. All these kids, there's only 5% of them have even access to a program, if you can afford it?
Yes,
unfortunately.
Wow. Wow. Am I the norm then? Are most young families today, with these are kids from prenatal all the way up to about 5 years, right? That's where your program focuses. People at that age range, because you can't send them to school.
Right.
School's the babysitter for a lot of people here. You get to send them to school. But for the younger kids, you're saying there's only slots for 5% of them. The other 95% do what? They rely upon neighbors and friends and family. What you called it something, Cindy, you had a name for
family,
it.
Family, friend, and neighbor.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing. I fit into that category.
You do.
My
and
daughter.
We have resources for you.
That's what hooray. I'm going to tune in for. Let's cut right to that. Forget the rest of the show. How can they help me? I have two grandsons. I have one daughter. We have one daughter. And she's married. They have two grandsons. One's four, one's 10. And since they were both born, we are the caregivers. Yeah. So they work 5 days a week. And we watch them at least 2 or 3 days a week. At least two, sometimes 3 days a week. And sometimes you give them a relief, too. And my wife's semi-retired, so she can do that. But not everybody can do that.
No.
And it ain't easy all the time. My wife's in her early 70s. It's taxing. She said, I went through this once before. Right. Now she's doing it again. She loves the kids dearly. She loves doing it. But it is exhausting for her here. Now she's got to, as they get older, she's got to run them around. She's got to do things. She's got to watch them. There's two of them, all this stuff here. So Are we overtaxing the whole world here? Is it not taxing money-wise? It's overburdening young families today. They've got such costs for health care, such costs for housing, such costs for food and gas, and everything else keeps going up and up. How are they doing it? Cinda, how are they doing it?
That's a very good question. They're piecemealing it, so to speak. As in your situation, they may be using one resource one day. They may shuffle children between caregivers.
Yeah.
It's difficult, to say the least. A lot of school-age children have after-school programs that they can go to, but really this age group. And again, the pandemic just accelerated it.
Because it did what? It wiped out all these home-based child caregivers.
Went out of business.
They went out of business.
All right, another stat here. You're saying the average annual price for full-time center-based care, you want to drop them off at a center and go to work, come pick them up, is $15,000. That's a year?
A year for one infant or toddler.
So it's $1,000 a month, or a little over $1,000 a month here?
Yeah.
Who's got an extra $1,000 a month for junior? Just so somebody will watch them during the day here.
Yeah, so a lot of families decide, mom, dad, whenever one of us, we're not going to work because it's not worth it to go to work because I'm not making enough to cover childcare and do all the fun things.
My daughter's kind of gone back and forth. Is it really worth working? She makes more money, but maybe now she's got two kids to do that. But at the same time, it's not an either-or situation. They need that extra income.
Correct.
Yeah, especially in Orange County, right?
Yeah. So it's, if she could, she'd stay home. But they need the income. She likes working, number one. And number two, they need the income.
Yeah.
So we are their stopgap. So we're saving them $2,000 a month. I got to have a talk to my daughter
here. right away.
Yeah.
All right. So all sorts of stuff here. I'll just rattle off some of these impact. You got so many stats, and all of them are shocking. One in five parents, 20%, arrive late to work due to gaps in childcare. I couldn't get somebody to childcare this morning. Yeah. They were sick. They weren't there. What do I do? They're calling in sick. They're arriving late. One in six parents have to leave work early on a regular basis. I got to go get my kid. I hear that all the time. One in 10 parents choose to resign, or they had to give up their job care. Maybe they lost it because they were showing up late too many times, leaving work too many times here. And 1 in 10 or 1 in 11 parents are forced to reduce their hours, can't take full-time positions. Wow. All of that is shocking, particularly because most of these young families are just struggling to pay the bills. Wow. All right, so your program is funded out of the tobacco tax, Prop 10. I forgot we passed a product. When did we pass that? A while ago. That was one of those
almost 25 years ago.
Yeah, 25 years.
So as much as we hate tobacco, we kind of love that they're still paying the tax. We're still taxing money. And so that tax, I'm looking at the thing here, 58 counties. How many counties are there in
58.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Every county gets a portion.
And it's
of
based
that
on
tax.
The birth rate.
Correct.
And Orange County is the fourth largest county in California.
Yep.
And so we get a big chunk of this. And your vision is, I'm just going to read this because I think it says it all, is that all children reach their full potential on four conditions for child care. To identify four things you want these kids to do in the first 5 years. You want them to thrive, early and ongoing health and development. You want to be safe, clearly, stable, and a nurturing home. Okay, all of that sounds noble. How the heck do you do it, Christina?
We have multiple programs that kind of serve families across the systems in healthcare and education, community engagement, parent education. But specifically, our program that Cinda and I are working with SBDC on is building new childcare businesses so that we don't have such a lack of access.
Now I see how it all ties in. So there's an opportunity if you want to go into business because 95% of them got nowhere to go, even if they could afford it. And there's an opportunity, a need for more child care, what would you call them? Businesses.
Yeah.
Places to
watch. Supply and demand,
right? I believe it's hard to open, though, because for a couple of reasons. One, you got to have a space. And so I guess a lot of them are using their house.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And two, a lot of regulations, as there should be. I don't want anybody watching my kids. I want to make sure you got background checks and have some training and know what to do for CPR and a thousand other things. They're watching kids. They can't just... You got to have some special skills here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So California has a licensing mandate to run a child care business in your home, or even if you want to own a center. And our program has been focusing on helping small businesses in their homes to open childcare slots.
And give me some limits. I can watch 100 kids in my house, or can I? I don't know.
No.
Eight is the max. And it can actually be in an apartment.
Really?
You don't have to own your home. You don't have to have outdoor space for the children. The regulations that govern us for home care, family child care is what we call, is a little different than going to a center.
Okay. Give me just a couple of highlights. What's the difference in a center? There's 50 kids running around.
Correct. These, it's based on square footage.
A bunch of them are chains and stuff. You're like kinder care or whatever.
Some. Yep.
Not trying to pick out kinder care, but it's the only one that came to my mind. But there's a number of them I see around.
Yes.
And those are going to be more expensive, but they're like all-day programs. They watch these kids, and they have activities for them to do, and maybe they teach them, and all that sounds great. But you're telling me they're not cheap.
They're not cheap. And they're usually only open from 8 to 5. And a lot of families work non-traditional hours, right? So what about those families that work till 7 or evenings?
When my daughter was younger, here in Orange County, my wife and I both worked, obviously, at that time, too. And thank God for the YMCA and their after-school program.
Yes.
Because we couldn't get to pick up our daughter. I couldn't get there by
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, yeah.
Yep.
So they would hold them till, what, 6 or something like that.
Correct.
And it was fun, educational, but mostly just somebody's watching them on campus.
Keeping them safe. Correct. Yeah,
keep them safe. They're not wandering the streets or trying to be a latchkey kid and somehow make it home and then sit there by themselves and they're 6 or 8. I bet there's a lot of kids doing that today. They're not supposed to be, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
I hear about all sorts of horror stories of people leaving their kids and just going, I got to go to work, and so be good. And the 6-year-old watches the 4-year-old. And
it's sad, yeah.
That stuff's going on today, right?
Definitely.
Because they can't make it. They can't figure it out. So you're saying there's an opportunity then. And you're saying the average kid gets $1,000, $1,500 a month or something here they're charging. So if I had 8 kids, I could make $8,000, $10,000 a month just watching 8
you
kids.
Could.
I can make $100,000 a year just watching 8 kids here.
Maybe.
Well,
theoretically.
Once you pay all the bills that go along with taking care of that child, it could be about $70,000.
Yeah,
is that right?
Roughly.
It's a pretty decent job for somebody who wants a little part-time thing, or not a part-time, but an entrepreneurial gig here.
And often it's a parent who wants to stay home with their own child.
Ah.
And so their child is included in that count. So it affords them kind of two-way
flexibility. Yep.
Oh, my God. Every young mom, well, I'll think of young moms because of my daughter here. But she,
I thought about her.
Yeah, she doesn't make $7,000 a month at her job here or something. So if she stayed home and opened up one of these businesses, she could stay home and watch her own kids, which she'd like to do. And she could watch half a dozen others, 6 others here.
Correct. Yeah.
And she could make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year or something.
Correct.
Doing that. Wow, you just opened the door. I think every young mom, or maybe young dads too, but every young mom out there would want to take advantage of this program. Why have I not heard of this before again? This should be on billboards everywhere here.
It's just started.
Yes, 1 year.
There it is.
Yeah, just 1 year.
And give me some stats on how it's worked. How many jobs have you opened? I know you got to report all this stuff here and everything. How many of you start?
Let me talk a little bit maybe about what the program is.
Okay.
First,
then we're going to talk stories. And we're going to get past the stats and tell stories here.
First Five has worked with SBDC. When the pandemic hit and everybody was trying to provide relief funds, Christina and I would listen to a daily training from SBDC on those funds.
So you watched some of Mike Daniels' webinars?
Yes, every day I watched
to Mike
Daniels. Mike is awesome. That's really
cool.
How we got
connected.
Runs
the regional center here with all the different centers.
And I would watch it every day, take notes, because it changed every day as things were going on. And I came to Christina and said, we need to help our own people, our providers, go for this money. What happened was we realized that many of them don't see themselves as a business. They see themselves as a provider of child care, but they don't really operate as a business.
Right.
That kind of started our thinking.
And they're not entrepreneurs. Daughter, God love her, but she's not an entrepreneur. She's not. She looks at you and says, how do you work for yourself? How do you get, what do you do? And how do you market it? And all those kinds of things. She'd love to do the work. I think she's more than capable of doing that, but I don't know that she'd be entrepreneurial enough to go out and hustle up and start it and then find the kids and
she'll have to come to us.
I think so.
So really, in March of last year, we launched it. with 12 individuals that took a very unique course. SBDC did the business acumen, and we did the child care aspect, the licensing.
And I got to rattle off all these organizations because they're all going to get mad if we don't give them a shout out here.
Yes.
But this program in general was sponsored as Family Child Care Future Provider.
That's what we call them.
Entrepreneur Cohort. I love this cohort. We're in a tech center. Everything's a cohort. When you get together, it's a cohort. We're part of a team. We're a cohort. All right. Family Child Care Future Provider Entrepreneur Sessions and coursework has been developed in conjunction with the Orange County Inland Empire. That's us. Small Business Development Center. That's what Mike oversees. The Women's Business Center. I don't know if we've ever had him here. I didn't know there was a Women's Business Center.
Mike oversees
that. Oh, that one too. Okay. Yeah. Orange County Association for the Education of Young Children. That's a long name. Didn't know there was such an association. And the Community for Innovation, Entrepreneurship, Leadership, and Opportunities, CLO. I never heard of that organization either. We got to get them both in here. And First Five, Orange County. I didn't get the name. Now I do. It's the first 5 years.
Yeah.
That's it.
Obvious now. I was like, first five? Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah. I thought it was the first five. I don't know. I can come up with lots of funny things, but first five, now I get it. First 5 years. This program started in March, out of the pandemic. You said there's a need. Maybe we can help as part of the funding that's being sent to this county to help create access to child care and other things like that, all related to early childhood development. Correct. You guys said, we need more entrepreneurs in this space, and we're going to show them how to do it and teach them how to do it and get them started. And maybe we can help fill that gap a little bit more. So grandma and grandpa aren't the only ones, and friends and family and neighbors in this ad hoc atmosphere.
Very well said. Okay. And really, Mike went right along with our vision. We met quite a bit with him and his consultants that offer business.
Because that's what they're there for, is to help stimulate small businesses.
Exactly.
They want that. They've been funded by the SBA and the state and all these other things with the mandate to help start businesses.
Yep.
Nobody thought there was an opportunity to start this business.
Right. Correct. We are pretty novel, I would say, in the state of California for what we're doing. We've created a toolkit to go with our classes. The first cohort had 12 individuals, the second 28, and our third one over 50. So we're growing.
So yeah, so you see
word's
the
getting out.
The
yeah.
word is getting out. The compelling part of it is, I asked Mike, what were the statistics on other business classes?
Right.
If you go to the food industry, you can take their classes for that. And he shared it was about 35% of the people who take the classes actually launch a business, 30 to 35%. My goal was to be at that or higher. For child care, nobody had really done this before.
Never. And I was going to ask, has anybody done this before?
No, not that we're not.
And
with
you two have very unusual. I always ask people what their own background is. I'm going to give you a real quick chance to summarize it. But I'm looking at Cinda's biography. First of all, Cinda Muckenthaler. Cinda Muckenthaler is married to one of the Muckenthalers. That if you go to the Muckenthaler Center up in Fullerton, this fancy giant house that was given to the city when the guy died in 1920 or something here. And they put on all sorts of community events there at the Muckenthaler Center. Yes. I've been there. They've been in here before. So your husband's a Muckenthaler.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Well, I'm impressed. All right. But you're president of Muckenthaler & Associates. That's
correct.
That's what you do on the side? Or in the
That is my small business.
Okay.
And when I first started and launched my business, it was really with a six-week contract with a school district that had approached me. And part of my backstory is I took every SBA's course that I could take when I launched my business. They were all free. I learned about insurance, what's a P&L. All of the different
what's a P&L?
Things.
I still hate the P&L.
Profit and loss.
I don't want to worry. I just want to have fun and do my business here. Yeah.
Really, that has always stuck with me. And when this opportunity came about that maybe we could do something in our field, but with business acumen, we approached Mike with it. And we feel that the partnership itself has just been truly amazing.
So initially you, in addition to all these things, you wrote a book, How to Build and Strengthen Your School Readiness Program. You've been a consultant at UCA Center for Healthier children, families, and communities. They always have names that are like too long to fit in a business card. And then you originally served as an interim executive director of a countywide nonprofit early childhood program.
4,000 kids.
And then transitioned to being a consultant and helping them figure out how to take these funds. Because these are school readiness funds? That's what the technical term is for these funds that goes to the county? Falls into getting kids ready? Young kids ready?
Yeah, get them ready. 5 years old, they go into kindergarten. We want them to be ready.
Okay, so that's what, and our county was the first to receive these?
Some of them, yes. One of the largest pots of money that the state was sending to the counties came to Orange County. It was tens of millions of dollars.
Wow. And do they always know what to do with this money? That's my fear, is we mandate this money, we raise it on some tax, some proposition, something, bunch of money gets sent, spread out, and then the counties go, now what?
So, great question. They definitely have to have a strategic plan to receive the funds. And I was hired as a small business owner to provide that technical support.
So you've been on both sides. You'd worked, been an executive director for a county program with kids, and then transitioned to being a consultant with your own gig now here.
Yep.
Trying to figure out how to spread these funds around. All right, let's give Christina equal time here. You are first five Orange County's early learning senior program officer.
Another really
could you come up with a longer title?
Right. Here? I need to think of a new one.
Yeah, add a few more other things in it.
Yeah.
But you got 20 years of experience. You only look like you're 20 years old here.
She's so young.
She does. And you've done what? You've been a teacher pre-K through grade five, program director for various, for Head Start. That's an impressive one. State yep. preschool, dual immersion. That's one I'd love to talk about here too sometime. Immersing them in languages and stuff very early on.
Yeah. A lot of bilingual education opportunities.
I think that's such a cool idea. Just throw them in and just don't just, the way I tried to learn Spanish and donde está, and then I studied it in a book and I forgot. And if everything other than that, I forgot.
Right.
But to immerse them in it, have them talking about it, teaching, even if they feel like they're drowning, they're still learning. Right. Particularly little kids can pick this stuff up
they're
so
like
quick.
They're like sponges, yeah.
Yep.
So you did all this stuff here.
All the things.
And how did you get pulled into this program?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Is that going to take another 30 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. Basically. What I love about what we do at First Five Orange County is that we're empowering the community to take ownership and supporting them to.
And what does that mean? Okay, so empowering the community means you help them. And then how do they take ownership of it? You're the owners. You're the
one
running
the
program.
This program is a perfect example. Like, you have an issue, you have a child that needs child care, you like kids, okay, let's be a business owner.
Then why don't you quit moaning about it and do something about it?
Yeah.
Take control of it here and change your own life. Yeah. I'm telling my daughter, when I tell her this, she may come and talk to you.
We'll give you our business card.
Cindy has a great story about one of our future providers who says, this is going to change my life.
Tell the story.
We have somebody who actually, when we first, in our infancy, she took one of our early courses. She was pregnant. She had several kids.
She was really in her infancy.
Yes, she was.
And then in your infancy as a program,
exactly.
Right?
And she took our little short course that kind of launched us. And that was it. She became a family friend and neighbor, like your wife is.
Right.
And she had two other children. And then all of a sudden, she enrolled in this program. She's part of CalWORKS, meaning that she receives state funding for support, so to speak.
Right.
And she wanted to change her life and her children's life. She is now finishing our program. She's worked very closely with me. I'm so proud of her. And she wants to be at home with her children while working and earning an
she
income.
She earns money staying home with her kids by watching other kids.
It's amazing.
How obvious. It never occurred
amazing.
To me.
Yeah. And the confidence that these young, not all of them are young. Some of them are grandmothers themselves.
I was going to say, can my wife do this?
Yeah, I thought about your wife,
because,
believe it or not.
I'm going to give you a crazy thing. We're part of the aging baby booms here.
Yeah.
And the good news is we're going to live to be 90. The bad news is we're going to live to be 90. What are we going to do for 20 or 30 years? Do we have enough money?
You're going to be bored.
We're going to be bored, number one, and I'm not sure we're not going to run out of money. And my wife has worked since she was 15. She was a manager at a bank, big bank, U.S. Mm-hmm. Bank. We'll give them a shout out. For years until she retired. And then she thought, she sat home, she went crazy. What am I going to do? That's why she's thrilled to watch these kids. And she has a little thing she volunteers, but it's like
time waster stuff. She would much rather be doing something impactful and, yes, make some money at it because we could use it. And it makes her feel better, like I'm not just doing this for free and I'm worthless and whatnot here.
And you're helping people that need the care, right?
Yeah. I don't know what making money has to do, but it makes you a certain self-worth, too. If
true.
You go from making a nice salary to I'm just cleaning bedpans at the local hospital now here for free on the weekend or whatever, cleaning out.
Volunteering.
Volunteer work, yeah. As nice as it is, doesn't give you a deep sense of, hey, I'm really doing something here.
Productive member of society.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we do have some mother-daughter individuals taking part of our future provider coursework.
Yeah.
So. We encourage them to come
yeah,
to our
I think
next
there's an
session.
Awful lot of aging baby boomers are going to look for a second act career.
We would love it because with the statistic of we just don't have enough infant toddler slots is what we call them in our county. This is
by a huge number. If that number is correct, 95% of people are looking, even if they want it, they got the money and they're willing to get into it.
There
are no slots.
Correct.
Nowhere
so it's really a twofold one. People become entrepreneurs, people who felt they could never operate a business, gain confidence to do. And there were also providing new opportunities for families to create new spaces.
Well, you're hitting every hot button that the government wants to do, which is one, we want to improve early childhood, make them more ready and stable and able and all these good things.
Yes.
We're also taking the burden off of young families who are already stretched thin with high housing and high food costs, energy costs, all the other stuff that they're trying to do. So we're taking that burden off, helping the kids, and we're creating more jobs.
It's awesome.
Unbelievable.
It has been our statistic right now, 50% of the people that take our coursework actually get a license. So we're a little higher than the average.
Yeah, because a lot of people are dreaming and they take stuff and then, I'm not going to do it or they don't do it. This is something. I think because there's an immediate payoff, I get to stay home and watch my kids.
Yeah.
What do you think, Christina? Is that?
Yeah, definitely. We've, out of the 80-ish that we said went through the program, 20 have fully opened licensed serving children. Our goal was 100 slots this year.
Right.
And we're about 80 slots. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're going to reach it. We've got a few more months for our year.
So give me a quick summary. This is free, I take it?
Yes,
all
completely
free.
That's
free.
Even
everything.
More amazing. Free, all this SBD
free.
Stuff.
Yeah,
and
Mike Daniels got all the free
He got all the funding.
Yeah.
All right, so it's free. Number one, how long does it last?
8 weeks.
8 weeks. And then when you do, are you ready to launch? You can go get a license and whatever
we'll
you
help
understand.
You apply for your license and
what's great,
off you go.
And what's great about SBDC is they get partnered with a consultant who doesn't leave them after the 8 weeks, and nor do we. We have what's called a peer guide, somebody already in family child care business that assists them.
Stick
also.
With them and make sure they succeed because I'm sure there'll be questions. The biggest problem is how do you get the kids?
So there are a couple of ways. One of the things is there are some subsidies from the state of California, what's called alternative payment. That's one of them. So some of these individuals.
Remember, the state will provide subsidies for parents to.
Correct.
If you get into this program, then parents who are looking for that get referred to approved partners here.
Yes, you got it.
Wow.
So it's a great model to not only launch, but. Receive, sustain.
Because you get initial, and then the kids drop out, or they move, or something happens, or they get mad at you, or something, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever it is, I'm sure you lose a certain percentage of the kids over time. Now, how do you replace them?
And when they're three, they'll go to the school district,
right?
Yeah. That's where we need the 0 to 3 teachers more than anything, because at three, a lot of them can go to the school district and access schooling.
There you go. So it's at first 3 years. And that's the hardest. Oh, my God.
We have one of our providers. We call them future providers rather than participants. We want them to hit
future it. Future provider. They're already, because you're giving that positive.
That's right.
You're a future provider.
That's from the get-go.
I'm not just participating in a program. Maybe I'll do something. I'm already a future
provider.
Provider.
Last session, so we've done three cohorts. The second session, somebody was there who works full-time, who came up to me and said, I'm going to do this specifically for infant toddlers overnight. So she is
overnight. There's another
reaching,
one.
Wow. Yes. lot of hospitals, and many other industries where overnight care is just non-existent.
Oh, I can't imagine. I never occurred to me. Where would you, if you had to watch somebody overnight?
Exactly.
Because many times we watch our grandkids overnight.
Yes. Yeah.
Her model, so they all create a business plan and create their model and their vision, which is amazing. And every one of them is a little different. Hers was to do 4 infant toddlers overnight, specifically with hospitals. She's going to focus her recruitment with that segment of the population.
Because what, kids come into the hospital and need somebody to...
No, parents who work in the hospital.
Oh, I see. Because they got to...
Yeah, doing an overnight shift.
Yeah,
she's going to be full the day she opens because the need is so great.
I never thought of that. If my daughter and son-in-law were in healthcare, they would be working not only...
Could have been.
They might be working
over... 7 shift.
Yep.
Yeah, as nurses or doctors or other sorts of things. Wow. You have really opened my eyes here today. How do people find out more about... They're going to have to listen to this a couple times here to grasp the importance of what you're doing. The huge need in this county. Huge need. 95% of people can't even find childcare if they can afford it. It's expensive on top of it. And so they're trying to do some ad hoc crazy thing like my daughter has done for, and son-in-law have done for years with us and his parents too sometimes. And you're solving that problem for them. You're also maybe allowing the moms to stay home and to work at the same time. Because the other stat that shocks me, I've heard this before, since the pandemic hit and people had to stay home, kids are being sent home, they're teaching them at home, 4 times as many women have left the workforce than men. Who's going to do it? You're going to do it, honey. It's still fall. As much as we've come back to equal opportunities and women have growth and job forces and women can do whatever they want today, hooray, finally, all of a sudden, but you got to stay home. One of us got to stay home and it's you. And so it falls to so many women to do this.
Yep.
And so many are single too and everything here. So how do you do all this? What about for single women? I would think this would be a huge thing.
Could be.
Yeah.
We call it our community of childcare. Really, our goal is to build that community of partners, resources, to really empower these individuals to feel like they're contributing to a larger sense of not just our county, but their individual communities. That's really our goal.
You know what you're doing is you're changing their life, as you said.
We are, very much so.
And then you're changing the life of these children who get more care, better care.
Quality care.
And you're changing the community as a result.
It's awesome.
Slowly but sure.
Yes.
That should be on the front page news. I'm glad we're talking about this. All right, how do they find you? We'll go to Christina. Find us.
You can visit our website, first5oc.com.
Is it the number 5? Or
correct. It is first5oc.com.
Okay.
Or SBDC's website as well.
Yes.
You can. What is their website?
SBDC. I think it's OCIESBDC.org.
Go there.
Something like that.
Yeah.
If I got it wrong, Mike, call me up and tell me and we'll put it in the chair.
Oh, he will.
And so there's 2 places to do this. It's got a ton of organizations. We rattled them all off that are supporting or behind this or helping to spread the word. Is this unique? Has anybody done anything like this before? I've never heard of anything like this.
I think it's starting to become a thing in other communities, slowly but surely.
I was just at
a summit last week in Oakland, and a couple of other counties were sharing similar models. But I definitely think we're...
Just when we say to ourselves, government, yuck, less of it, hate it, doesn't do anything, here's an example where they take money that we gave them and put it to very creative use in a very positive, powerful way. Thank you for coming and sharing this. All right, give us the website one more time.
First5oc.com.
And that's the number 5.
Number 5.
First5oc.com. Or go check out the SVDC's website and learn more. How you can set? When's the next cohort?
I was just going to say that. Starting in July, we plan to do the next cohort.
So we're recording this for those in the future in April of 2024. As I'm assuming this goes on, and you have what throughout the year several cohorts. I always laugh when you say cohorts. It's just a class. Okay, but the cohort, the group,
but you know
we're
what?
Bonded
Those,
together.
They are bonded together, and we do help them create a community amongst themselves.
Yeah,
they,
so you're not in your
they
own.
Start, exactly, because you can get isolated as a family child care provider.
Well, as an entrepreneur, so. Too, forget about
yes.
that. You're working for
yes,
yourself.
True.
Who do I ask? Who
true.
Do I question? How
yes.
do I do this?
Yes.
Am I the only one going through this?
Yes. Yeah, we'll do them as long as SBDC wants to continue
yes.
going. So.
They go pretty long. I don't know if they go on forever, but they go on pretty long. All right. Thank you for coming in. Yeah. I'm struck by this, and I'm definitely going to pass this on to my wife
Great.
And my daughter. And who knows? They may have two more members of your next cohort
future
here.
Providers.
Yes.
Future providers. Future providers of Orange County. All right. Thank you so much for coming
you.
In. What a great
thank
story.
You.
Yeah. As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.